the sound okay this morning? Can you hear? My right ear is stopped up. I can't hear a thing out of my right ear. So any amens over here, you're going to have to wave your hand and say it, okay? But no, I'm not hearing well. So but anyway, glad to have Brother Murphy here. I'm like you, Jim. You can't hear anything. Here I am complaining, right? I'm complaining, and you can't hear a thing. I should keep my mouth shut, huh? No sympathy from this section over here. That's right. Oh, very good. So keep me honest. That's a blessing. I appreciate Brother Murphy. He's been preaching in evangelism 25 years. That's no small feat, people, in this day and age. A lot of fellows start out in this type of work ministry. Just isn't sustainable for them, but God's been using Daryl Murphy. I like being around him. He's fun. I think sometimes people can take themselves too seriously, and you can be just too super, and I hate to even say this, you can almost be super spiritual to the place where you're no earthly good, and he doesn't have that problem, believe me, okay? So, so he's our friend, and I'm glad he's here today to preach to us. You give him your undivided attention. Come on and sing, Brother Dan. We'll enjoy it. And then after he's done, Brother Murphy will bring the morning message.
There sits a father on the front row of church. His one's crying and dealing with hurt. He tells them that Mama is not really here. She's gone home with Jesus to live with him there. With tears in his eyes, he wraps them in hugs and promises Jesus will give them his love. He says Jesus knows all of our cares. He feels every sorrow and comforts our fears. I know Jesus hurts when our hearts are sad, when we don't understand and we can't see his plan. Just lean on my Jesus and trust in his hand. When sorrows and heartaches come into your life, just run to Jesus and give him your strife. Jesus can help you with all of your cares. He's ready and willing your burdens to bear. Just lean on my Jesus and trust in his hand. Yes, when we don't understand and we can't see his plan, just lean on my Jesus and trust in his hand.
That was good. Amen. What a tremendous truth from that song. And I appreciate the way he sang that song. I like to hear men sing. Amen. And that was a blessing to my heart to hear that song and the way it was sung and the message. And boy, I tell you what, that's what it's all about. Amen. And just trusting in the Lord. Don't lose confidence in God. And so praise the Lord for that good song. And it's a thrill and an honor and a blessing to be able to be here once again. I always look forward to coming to Faith Baptist Church and the fellowship and the friends. And I appreciate this ministry very, very much. And I thank God for it, the impact that it's having, not only here, in the community, but literally around the world. And so praise the Lord for that. Amen. And I thank the Lord for your pastor, and I consider him a dear friend of mine, and I thank the Lord for him and his testimony and his life and how God has used him in a great and mighty way. I met him years and years ago. He was associate pastor there in Washington, Iowa. I don't know if you remember that. And I had come through. I was on staff evangelist for Oklahoma Baptist College, and I was traveling around, and I had a group of girls that my wife and I had taken out and kind of just promoting the college, and we were there in Washington, Iowa, singing and preaching there, and that's where I met Brother Angel, and we were in Brother Brown's office, and Brother Angel was in there, and the first time I met him was there, the first time I met him, he told me, some dry, corny kid joke, that I heard back when I was in the third grade, and I knew right then God had knit our hearts. And so, but anyways, but praise the Lord. Most people, it wasn't a prayer meeting, but no, it was some corny joke, but anyways, that's when I first met him. And then now through the years, God has allowed us to, we've preached together in different conferences and things like that. And it's been a blessing to be able to see how the Lord's used him, his family, and now here in this ministry. And I thank God for it. And praise the Lord. I've had a very busy summer preaching around, traveling, and I've been out to the East Coast a couple of times preaching out there in different areas. And so we thank the Lord. I think we've seen over 200 people saved already this year through the preaching and the evangelistic ministries and things like that. But the whole highlight of my summer so far has been I preached at the Mount Salem Revival Grounds in a camp that was established by Joe Boyd. Joe Boyd was my hero evangelist. And I love Joe Boyd. I love his preaching. I never had an opportunity to travel with Joe Boyd, but he would come to Windsor Hills often, and we preached in a couple of meetings together. I spent a lot of time with him, and so he would always say, Brother Murphy, that's one of my boys, And he thought that I had been called under his preaching, and I just kind of let him think that. Amen. Yes, sir, Brother Boyd. Yeah, I was called under your preaching. But anyway. When I preach at the camp and they put special speakers in Joe Boyd's house. I mean, I was staying in Joe Boyd's house. And I thought, man, that was special, and had his library there and slept in his bed, used his bathroom. What a highlight of my life. Amen. And so, I must live a boring life. Amen. But anyway. That was great for me, and so I had a great time preaching there at the camp, and people, saved and surrendered, and it always amazes me how God will allow me to have a part in something like that, and so I just thank the Lord for it, and so praise the Lord. All right, take your Bibles now, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading here, verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14. And then verse number 22, I want you to notice here in this passage of Scripture some definite truths that I believe that will help us in our Christian life, cause us to be, more fervent about serving God and living for God. And boy, if there's ever a day and age where we need Christian people to be more fervent, it's today. And it seems like there's just an attitude of lukewarmness and apathy that has gripped many of our independent Baptist churches today in different types of works. And so we need to get more fervent and more diligent Jesus could come at any moment. That's the next scheduled event according to the Bible, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. And so because of that, I mean, we ought to get motivated about doing more for the Lord. It amazes me. I think, with all the things that are happening, the corruption and all of the compromise that's out there today in Christianity, I believe Satan has intensified his work. Sometimes I think Satan believes that Jesus is coming more than a Christian. And he has intensified his work. And he's going to do everything to try to destroy Christianity and the work of God, the things of God. That just means that God's people need to get more fervent. Amen. More diligent. More diligent about the work of God. Sometimes I don't think we're diligent enough. And, Second Peter talks about, having your faith and you added to your faith virtue and the temperance and all of that. But we forget about the first thing he mentions is diligence. You've got to have diligence to serve God. You've got to be diligent. And that means to be watchful. It means to be vigilant. It means to be serious. It means to be sober. It means to, hey, listen, things aren't looking very good. And so if we're going to see revival, we're going to see the church advance the cause of Christ, we need to get more serious about serving the Lord. And I like to have a good time, but when it comes to serving God, I'm serious about serving God. About doing the will of God and what God has, for us in our lives and in all of that. And so here in this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God preserved in the King James Bible, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. Who's with me? Say amen. Profitable when we allow it to become a part of our spiritual DNA. Profitable when we allow it to become a part of our thought process, our tongue, our temperament. It's not going to be profitable if it just falls upon deaf ears. Are you with me? No pun intended. But anyways, I just believe here in this passage of Scripture, God is given a truth that we as God's people, we need to have it more in our lives than ever before. Notice in verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 14, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Notice what the Bible declares there in the King James Bible. That's why I like the King James Bible. Amen. I mean, it's got some teeth. Glory to God. It'll bite you, neighbor. It'll get your attention. And notice here that the Bible declares that not very often you hear the Lord, but he constrained his disciples to get into this ship and to go before him. And so evidently, I mean, there was something very important that God had for these individuals to accomplish. And we need to understand, serving God, there's something important that God has for you to do today. He's constraining people. He's urging people. He's compelling individuals. If we see the cause of Christ advance itself upon society today, God's people must determine to take that next step of faith. To take the next step of faith. To get to that other side. Determined to do the thing that God has been telling you to do now for quite some time. Get into that ship of salvation. Amen. If you're not saved, God's constraining you this morning. He's compelling you. He's urging you to get in to that ship of salvation. Just like Noah back in the day was constraining people to get into the ark, so God is constraining you to get into that ship of salvation. That's the will of God. Amen. This was the will of God for these disciples to get into that ship. And listen, the Lord, he was serious. I mean, he wasn't messing around. He had a definite will, a definite plan. And mark it down today, God has a plan for your life. And the will of God is for you to be saved if you're not saved. The Lord's not slack considering his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Amen. But that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. It's not God's will for you to die and burn in hell. Hell was not prepared for man. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Are you with me? Say amen. And so if you die without Christ, you'll end up in a place that wasn't designed for you. Wasn't prepared for you. You'll be out of God's will for all eternity in that place of torment, pain, fire. God has prepared a place for you in heaven, glory to God. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Isn't that a blessing? Or get into that ship of salvation. Get saved this morning. Stop putting it off. Amen. He's constraining you. Take that step. I mean, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ had a plan. They just finished feeding the 5,000. Hey, listen, we had a blessing. Now we had a victory. God manifested His power. There were some great and mighty things that were accomplished. Now, it's not time to relax. Amen. It's time to continue on. To keep going. To strive to go forward in your Christianity. What is the Lord constraining you to do this morning? To get saved? Get in that ship of service. Start serving God. Do the will of God. God wants every single one of us to serve the Lord. You get saved, you serve God. You don't get saved, just sit around and enjoy the blessings of others. God has called you and has saved you and has sanctified you to be a servant of the Lord. Be a server. Amen? As I told the college and curriculum, be a server. Be a server, not a swerver. Who's with me? Say amen. Too many people swerving. Why? They're not serving. Say amen right there, even if it kills you. But there's a will. God has a will. God has a plan. God has a work. God has a ministry. Amen. He had to constrain these disciples. The word indicates importance, necessity, to compel, to urge, to force. With irresistible power or with a power sufficient to produce the effect. Who's with me? Say amen. Let me illustrate it this way. Back in 1974, my mom and dad got saved. My dad was 36, my mom was 38. They trusted the Lord as their Savior. And right away, they start serving the Lord. They start doing God's will. And they took a bus route. And my dad served on that bus route for 37 years. And, my mother served on that bus route until her health got bad. She's struggling right now with congestive heart failure. And so if you remember to pray for her, Joan Murphy is her name. But she wasn't able in the latter years. But there for 37 years. Well, when my dad took that bus route, I was 15 years old. When we start going to that church. And one Saturday morning, I was laying there in my bed. My dad come through the door and literally jerked me out of bed and threw me on the floor. Who's with me? Say amen. My dad, he grew up, you know, he's right there in that gray area of old school and caveman. When he said, let's go, get in the car, you didn't ask where you're going. You found out when you got there. Who's with me? Say amen. And I'm laying on the floor thinking, oh man, what did I do? I'm in trouble. And I said, Dad, what's up? What's the problem? He said, son, God has just called you into the bus ministry. Who's with me? Say amen. Now, neighbor, that's constraining. That's compelling. That's urging. Who's with me? Say amen. With an irresistible force. And that's what the Lord was trying to get these disciples to see. Listen, I'm constraining, I'm forcing, whether it was a, you know, physical force, like, come on, man, get into that ship. Or whether he was, you know, screaming at him, what's the matter with you? Or whatever, he had an important plan for him. He wanted to get in there. He had a work for him over on the other side. Oh, listen, don't allow a fear, frustration, fatigue, or whatever it may be. That's hindering you from taking that next step. Determine in your heart you're going to be willing to follow the plan of God, the purpose of God. You'll take that step. You'll get in that ship. You'll be the better for it. Amen. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, there's security in that ship. There's safety in that ship. Who's with me? Too many people, get out of the ship. Get out of the ship. Look what happened to Peter. I mean, they're there sailing along. All of a sudden, Peter, he wanted to get out. He wanted to get out. And, you know, despite what these, country gospel charismatic singers say about step out on the water. That wasn't God's will for him to step out on the water. Who's with me? The will of God for Peter was to stay in that ship. You get outside the ship, what's going to happen? Sink. He starts sinking. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, God's constraining you this morning to get in. Start serving God. Get busy with God. Do the work of God. That salvation. Oh, listen, mom and dad need to stay in that ship. Young people today, they get out of that ship. There's nothing but sorrow, nothing but struggle, nothing but remorse, nothing but pain, nothing but agony. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen to me. That Jesus was constraining them to get into this ship. And there was a reason why he had to constrain them. Evidently, they were a little bit hesitant about doing what God wanted them to do. That's why he had to constrain them. They were hesitant. They were timid. Who's with me? Say amen. They were fearful. They were afraid. They were timid. And mark it down. It was their intimidation that led to their hesitation. Are you with me? Oh, listen, I step out and I do that thing that God wants me to do. It might cost me something. There might be some conviction. There might be some consecration. There might be something I might have to change. Are you with me? We don't like to change. We like to sit in the same seat, park in the same parking lot. Who's with me? If I had my way, I'd never change my clothes. I wish somebody would invent a suit that would never stink. And you could just wear the same thing all the time. Who's with me? But oh, listen. You take that step of faith sometimes. There's something that's got to change. Something that's got to change. They were hesitant. They were timid. Oh, listen. It's not time for God's people to hesitate. God tells you to do something. Do it now. Do it immediately. Do it without hesitation. Jesus said, straightway. You know what that word means? Straightway. Immediately. Right now. No questions asked. Get in the ship. Get over there. I've got something special for you. I've got something there that is beyond your imagination. If you just obey. If you just be willing. If you just do it. And not question. And don't be timid. And don't be fearful. God's got something great for you. I've got something great for the church. Revival is what's needed today. But oh, listen, why don't we have revival? Too many of God's people hesitating. You know what we like to do? Just sit back and let it all play out. See how it plays out. See what happens. Okay, well, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't do it. Who's with me? What's it going to cost? What's it going to take? What do I have to change? Say amen right there, even if it kills you. But I tell you what, they were hesitant. They were afraid. They didn't want to get in to that ministry. Get in to that work. They didn't want to totally commit themselves. Who's with me? They were holding back. Are you holding back? What are we holding back? People hold back service. They hold back their tithe. They hold back their offering. Because God tells them to do something. And they're holding back. And they're holding back. And you don't have it when you hold back. Acts chapter number 5. Read about the ones that held back. Oh, listen to me, neighbor. We need God to get in our lives and constrain us and to urge us and to compel us so that we'd be obedient. Take that next step and to see the power of God fall in our life like it's never fallen before. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen. What hindered them? What hindered them from they had some questions. They had some doubts. Are you with me? That's the work of the devil. The devil's the author of confusion, not God. They were hesitant. They were afraid. They didn't think that, hey, the Lord, I don't know, man. We get in that ship, I don't know. I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. Who knows? Why'd they hesitate? I believe what hindered them from getting that ship hinders a lot of people from taking that step of faith, from taking that next step in your Christian, getting to that next plateau. Amen? Aren't you tired of just being average? Aren't you tired of just going through the motions? Aren't you tired of just being mechanical? Who's with me? Aren't you tired of just being a robot Christian? Just doing it because you have to? Who's with me? Say amen. Don't you want to experience God? Don't you want to experience God in that supernatural way that will astonish you and amaze you? Amen. Of what God could do with that life. You know what? You know what hindered them? Number one, I believe the crowd hindered them from getting that ship. Who's with me? Say amen. The crowd. Many times we let the crowd influence us. Many times we let the crowd influence us in a negative way. Don't go, man. Don't go. Look what you did. I mean, you fed 5,000 people with just this little loaves, a little fish. Man, it was a miracle. You don't have to go. Don't do it. Just stay here with us. We want you just travel around with us. The way you supply us the food, supply us all of this provision. Oh, listen, please don't go. Stay. Stay right here. Oh, but that wasn't the will of God. Who's with me? Say amen. And I believe they were letting the crowd, they were letting people intimidate them. They were letting the crowd hinder them from taking that next step. Sometimes we let the crowd in the congregations keep us from coming forward and getting saved. Oh, what will the church think if I come forward and got saved? Are you with me? I've been going to this church for a long time and I haven't told some people I was saved. What if I come forward and get saved? What's the people going to think? That's letting the crowd hinder you from getting in that ship of salvation. Amen. Hey, listen, man. I'd rather suffer a little bit of embarrassment on the earth than have to spend eternity in hellfire. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen to me. God's been speaking to your heart about getting saved. Mark it down, neighbor. Don't let the crowd influence you. Don't let the crowd intimidate you. Oh, you remember Moses went up to the mountain to get the commandments of God to lead the children of Israel through the promised land. And while he was gone about 40 days, the people got impatient. Where's this Moses? Where's Moses? Where's Moses? This is crazy. We're tired of waiting on Moses. Aaron, get up and make us a God. I mean, Aaron was the man of God. Aaron was like the spokesman for Moses. He had an important, prominent position. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader. Who's with me? And what did he go do? He made him a God. He let the people influence him. He let the crowd intimidate him. Who's with me? Say amen. You can't let the crowd intimidate you. Back when I was a teenager, we used to go down to the Mississippi St. Croix River. On the St. Croix River, there's these big cliffs. And I don't know if you've ever been down there to the St. Croix River. Caleb, being from Minnesota, anybody's in Minnesota, go to St. Croix River. Amen. But anyways, it's kind of a spot where people go on vacation, things like that. But they had these cliffs. They had a 30-foot cliff. They had a 60-foot cliff. They had a 100-foot cliff. And so, you know, I didn't mind jumping off the 30-foot cliff. I jump off a 30-foot cliff. That was no problem. And then a 60-foot cliff. 60 feet doesn't look that high, but when you're standing up there, you look down, it looks real high. Amen? And actually, it's 60 feet plus my 6 feet 2 inches. Amen? Oh, man, that's a long way down. But I jumped anyways. My buddy said, go, Murphy, you're a chicken if you don't jump. I jumped. Then down I went. Then I hit the water, had bruises under my arm. Oh, man, 100-foot cliff. Let's go to 100-foot cliff. And there's a fence there. Not supposed to be in there. Climb over the fence, amen. Go out there to the 100-foot cliff. Look down, 100-foot. I'm not doing it. You're crazy. And there were some people there that said, don't jump off that cliff. The last person to jump off that cliff, they end up paralyzed. Don't do it. I said, you're kidding me. No. They're paralyzed? Yep. We were here when it happened. He's standing there, thinking about jumping. think maybe not jump. Maybe his buddy's telling him, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But there was a boat that come by with a bunch of tourists. They're taking pictures, of the cliffs and of the scenery. And they're coming by and they see the guy up there. And they're looking. And he's standing there. And they're all yelling, jump, 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 jump! And so he let the crowd influence him in the paralyzed. Who's with me? Say amen. You can't let the crowd intimidate you. I mean, listen, you got teenagers who want to drift around, go with the other crowd. Consent thou not, is what the Bible says. Don't get involved with it. Don't be intimidated by the crowd. I believe that's what hindered them. People. You can't be intimidated by people. You can't be influenced by what people do. Who's with me? I mean, listen. People will let you down. People will fail you. People will disappoint you. Amen. I mean, I disappoint my own kids sometimes. I disappoint my wife sometimes. But that didn't mean that, you know, God doesn't have a plan. That doesn't mean you ought to just jump ship and quit. That doesn't mean you ought to just leave the ministry. That doesn't mean you just ought to run away. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, it kept them. It was that crowd. You let that crowd, I believe what hindered them was not only the crowd, but the clouds. Who's with me? There was a storm coming up. They looked out there, they saw the clouds. They said, the Lord wants us to get into the spirit. And there's thunder and lightning out there. We get in that boat. We get in that ship. We start sailing. I mean, we're going to hit that storm. We're going to hit that. The waves are going to toss us around. It's a dangerous situation. Lord, are you sure? Get in the ship. Who's with me? Say amen. I mean, you know, the Lord, He was a human being just like you and I. I mean, He was, He had no sin. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. Who's with me? I mean, He was a human being. He had human tendencies. I'm sure He had to use the restroom. Amen? I mean, come on. He wasn't just a spirit floating around. He told them to get in the ship. I don't care about the clouds. I don't care about the storm. I don't care about the adversity. I don't care how hard it's going to be for you to get to the other side. I told you to get in the ship. Who's with me? They lost confidence in God. They lost confidence in His power. Oh, don't let the clouds, don't let adversity, don't let hardship, don't let, you know, these difficult times that we're living in today keep you from serving God. Are you with me? Say amen. Well, you don't know, man. I really like that guy and how he fell and blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen, don't let the clouds of adversity keep you from doing what God wants you to do with your life. Who's with me? Say amen. He let the clouds. He let that storm. He let that adverse situation. Oh, listen to me. You can't let that hinder you from doing what God wants you to do with your life. There's always going to be hardships. Who's with me? Say amen. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, you know, God sent them down this certain path. He sent them down the path that led them to the Red Sea. Now, you know, Moses had a little bit of question about it. And so God said, I'm not going to send them the easy way. Because if I send them the easy way, they'll have too much of a tendency wanting to go back. So I'm going to send them the hard way. The rocky way, the mountainous way, right into the Red Sea. Who's with me? Say amen. And sometimes we got to go the hard way. Sometimes we have hardships. And I mean, sometimes you just feel like, man, I go from one adversity to another, one storm to another. Just like the Apostle Paul, he's in a storm, he's in a wreck, he's messed up, he's serving God. And then all of a sudden, you know, things are happening. He's thrown in jail, one catastrophe to another. What is going on? Who's with me? But you can't let the clouds keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Just because things get tough doesn't mean you quit. Doesn't mean you're throwing a towel. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, there was all sorts of temptation. All sorts of different things. You remember Esther. Esther, she stepped out by faith. What'd she say? If I die, I die. If I die, I die. But I've got to go in and tell the king of this wicked plan that Haman has Incorporated to save my people from extinction.
Who's with me? Say amen. The Jewish people still celebrate what Esther did.
Even today. Because she did not let the clouds of death, the clouds of discouragement, the clouds of depression, the clouds keep her from doing what God had called her to do.
Are you with me? Say amen. They let the crowd. They let the clouds. Look what the Bible says there. In verse number 24. The Bible says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. You ever feel like that?
I mean, just beating on you, beating on you. Society beating on you.
Oh, don't lose confidence in God. Amen.
For the wind was what? Contrary. Oh, that's what hindered them. That's what hindered them. There was a crowd of people that didn't want them to go. There was a cloud out there.
Sometimes what hinders people from doing what they need to do is the controversy that it may cause.
You live for God. You do anything for God. It's going to cause controversy. Are you with me? Look at this Chick-fil-A thing. Now, I wasn't excited about going to Chick-fil-A on Thursday or whenever it was. I wanted to go on Friday when they had the kiss-in. And to get into that Chick-fil-A and hopefully a hockey game will break out. Body check a few of them. Grab the jersey portal. In Jesus' name.
I'm a half Irish, half Norwegian preacher with a hockey player's mentality. And I gotta watch that.
It was a hockey player's mentality. You knock me down once, I knock you down five times.
Glory to God. But anyways.
But the controversy. You live for God is going to cause controversy. Look at David. David stepped out. Look at all the controversy it caused. His brothers. It'll cause controversy in your family. You take a stand for God. My mom and dad got saved. We used to go up, get with the family, boozing, drinking, partying, cussing, swearing. I mean, my mom and dad, they'd all go out, and my brother and I were left staying at the house all by ourselves. I mean, 7, 8, 9 years old. And my dad would come home, big old band-aid on his head, been in fights. You know? But after they got saved, it's a whole different story.
Come to the reunion. Well, we'll come. We'll come up there.
And we went up there. Hey, have a drink.
No, I don't drink anymore.
I'm a born-again Christian now. Give my life to Jesus. And you talk about controversy.
It caused a big controversy. To the place where, I mean, the old family members wanted to gang up on my dad and beat him up.
Oh, you think you're better than us now, huh? Don't want to drink, don't want to smoke, don't want to party, don't want to do this. It caused some controversy.
Well, it got to the point where we couldn't go anymore. We couldn't go anymore. It made my mama sick, made my dad sick because they loved their mom and daddy, they loved their family, but they couldn't subject their kids to that anymore. Couldn't subject their kids to that kind of work anymore. Well, when the time came, my grandmother died. They came to my dad. They come to my dad in that time of sorrow. And what should we do? Well, we'll have my son preach the funeral. I'll preach my grandmother's funeral. 25 of my relatives got saved.
Just because there's some controversy in living for God, serving God, getting in that ship for God, doesn't mean you shouldn't get in.
It's going to cause some controversy. It's going to cause some friendships to split. You start living for God, serving God.
What was the Lord trying to get these fellas to see? Hey, yes, I understand there's a crowd. I understand there's a cloud. I understand there's controversy. I understand there's a storm. I understand you think that you're not going to make it.
But let me give you some confidence. Rest assured. This ship, this boat will float. This boat will float. It's not going to go down.
Who's with me? Say amen.
It doesn't matter who you put on a pedestal that one day may fall. This boat will float. Christianity, keep going. God, people, keep living for God. God, people, keep serving God. It doesn't mean it's over. We got to keep going for God. Get into that ship. Get in there. this boat will float. Old-fashioned, biblical, fundamental, independent Christianity still works today. Everybody wants to change things. Everybody more progressive. Can't be so hard. Can't preach so hard on a King James Bible being the inspired Word of God. Can't have such convictions. You run people off. It's not going to work today. Oh, listen to me, neighbor. This boat will float. This boat will float. This work founded on Jesus, founded on God, the grace of hell will not prevail against it. This thing will work. Living for God works. Surrendering your life to God works. It'll float. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen. What God wants you to do today? God's telling you to take that next step of faith. God's saying to get that next to that next plateau in your Christian life. Maybe you've been saved, haven't been baptized. You'll get baptized. Maybe you say baptized and join the church, and you join the church. You've been saved, baptized, and now you remember church. You need to find a place to serve God. Who's with me? Step, 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 step. Get in! Who's with me? Say amen. This boat will float. This boat will float. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take this message. Help us, dear God, to recognize the truth. I pray, dear God, you'll have your will and way during the invitation. I pray, dear God, if there's some folks here that aren't 100% sure they're saved, they'll come and get saved. I pray, dear God, if there's some folks here that are saved but need to take that next step, get baptized. Maybe they need to join the church. Maybe they just need to come and surrender and say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I'm tired of being average. I'm tired of just being mechanical. I'm just tired. I want to experience something supernatural in my life. You feel the Lord constraining you. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? God's tugging at your heart. That means God's compelling. God's urgent. God's constraining. Are you with me? Oh, listen. He wants you to get in. He wants you to get in. Determine in your heart that you're going to be obedient to what God wants you to do today. Father, I pray that you'll bless the invitation. Be Brother Angel as he comes and conducts the invitation. I pray, dear God, that you'll have your will and way, and we'll give you the glory for it.